Well, actually, I have a little testimony before I start preaching. I just want to thank the folk on Thursday at the intercessors meeting and a number of other folk who have prayed for me for a situation that has been ongoing since the beginning of January. And just to say that I passed my driving test yesterday. Now, some of you will know that this is the second driving test I have taken. The first one took place on the 10th of September, 1968, in a Hillman Minx with the registration plate JBL 8D. I didn't think I was going to have to do another one, but I did. Now, the whole thing is quite a story, but I do just want to say something about Friday and what happened. Because I've seen the Lord's hand on the whole process, and I have been faithless during the course of the process, feeling that, you know, traffic department administration is not going to work in my favor. But yesterday, I took my test, and I passed it. I was going out to Parle, and I had to stop to get something at Pick and Pay. And I suppose all of us here have probably bumped into, you know, most of the folk that we know here in Pick and Pay at some stage or another. But I had never, ever seen Liesl in Pick and Pay. I thought she always went to Woolies. But I met Liesl in Pick and Pay with Nita yesterday as I was going out. And it was such a joyful experience. And I was able to just say, I'm going to take my driving test. Did you know that I was going to do that, Liesl? No, you didn't. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So anyway, to know that she and Nita were going to pray at 12 o'clock for me gave me great encouragement to go forward for this driving test. Anyway, the test went really pretty well. I thought it was all fine until I parked the car back underneath the, you know, in the car park, and the gentleman, I think his name was Mr. Cricket, but it might be Mr. Cricker, I'm not quite sure, I couldn't quite hear. Anyway, fortunately, I didn't have to use his name. Anyway, he said, could you wind down the window and give me a hand signal if your lights have failed and you want to indicate that you're going to stop? And I thought, ooh, gosh. Hand signals, September the 10th, 1968. Yeah, I did have to slow down, yeah. Turning left, I could remember that. I didn't know how to do the stop, so I thought in the end, okay, I'll just do that. I still don't know whether it was exactly right. You'll probably know better than me. And then he said, and yes, and something else, and I said, oh, yes, put the hazard warning lights on. And he said, no, they don't work. So I was really stumped, and in the end, he had to tell me, mirror, blind spot. And I had done mirror and blind spot about 55 times during the course of the test, but I forgot on that one occasion. So we got out of the car, and he clearly was a bit of a joker, because he sort of looked at me and he said, when would you like to come and see me again? And I thought, Lord, do I just melt down on the spot? Or do I take this as a bit of a joke? And that could be dangerous. I was really placed in quite a difficult situation. Anyway, in the end, the lady who sits behind the counter in the traffic department there, called Bonita, came to my rescue. And she said, oh, congratulations. And I thought, she knows something that I don't know. He had actually said he was going to have to phone his wife to decide whether to let me pass. And then I thought, no, there's something very fishy going on here. So anyway, in the end, I realized that he was going to allow me to have my pass the test. And we went through to do all the paperwork and things. And then I made a fatal error. I made a fatal error because I went to the car to get a little gift that I'd got for this lady, Bonita, who was quite definitely, God had placed this lady in the traffic department for me, because on two occasions, when I asked what date I could do my learners, which I'd failed first time in Franschhoek, and then to do the test, she said, oh, well, we can't do it until the end of March or the end of April, or you can't do the driving test until June. My heart sank. And both times she had been to see the boss and come back with a new date, which was much earlier, which was absolutely amazing. And in the course of one of these conversations, and she'd said to me, when do you want the test? And I said, well, it would be quite helpful to have it before my birthday, which is on the 20th of April. So she said, oh, well, my birthday is on the 17th of April. What about the 17th? I said, yeah, that's fine. No, let's do that. Anyway, she was very helpful. I went to get her a gift, but the timing was not good because I brought it and presented it to her as Mr. Cricket or Mr. Cricker was doing the all the stuff at the computer. And I just said to Benita, I just wanted to give you a little present. You've been so kind and helpful for me. I perhaps rather foolishly said, oh, I'm very sorry, I didn't bring you a present, Mr. Cricker. At which he got all the paperwork and he scrumpled it up into a ball and he chucked it in the bin. And I thought, oh, no. But he was joking again. He was joking. He got it out and we ironed it on the table and we started again. So I said to him, look, you really need to go on the stage. You really need to. You need to change your job. You've been in the traffic department for 24 years, which is what he told me. I think you need a change of job. So anyway, I praised the Lord. It wasn't actually quite the end of the story because it had never happened to them before. But when they tried to get it all sorted out in the computer, the computer wouldn't recognize me. They thought I wasn't there. I was out there in cyberspace somewhere. And in the end, I left the traffic department with my test report stamped with an official stamp, and they said they would try and get it sorted out, mumbled something about this afternoon, but probably next week. And so I just had this report of my test, and so off I went. The phone went just as I came out of Vemmershook Road on the left-hand side. I thought, I think I better answer this, but this is probably against the law, but never mind, I'll answer it. So I did pull off. It was all right. And it was the people from the traffic department. They said, it's all fixed. Where are you? Could you come back? I said, I'll come back. I will come back. And it was 25 past two, and the traffic department closed at 3 o'clock. And I thought, this is going to end today. I'm not going back. I can't see the sign on the mountain saying Franschhoek. I'm going back to Paul. And probably broke a couple of laws on the way back, but so I'm really sorry about that. But anyway, I got there, and Benita was still there, and it was all completed. And it's been an extraordinary journey. It really has been an extraordinary journey where I have so often been faithless, but I look at it now and I think God had his hand upon every single person in the process, and he was also having a bit of fun at the same time, I think. God is a God of humor. He loves laughter. I think he's probably quite likes practical jokes as well. So I give thanks to God for that. And to realize that this had all been worked out when my UK license ran out at midnight on the 19th of April. So the timing was absolutely perfect. So I give thanks to God for that. That's rather lengthy. But let's pray. Father God, we want to praise you and thank you this evening because you're Lord, you're on the throne. Jesus, we want to worship you because you are the Lion of the tribe of Judah and you're coming back. But at the same time, we remember that you are the Lamb who was slain. And Father, we just praise you and thank you. Jesus, we worship you. Holy Spirit, we thank you and praise you for your presence with us this evening. And Lord, may my words be your words. Please take from me anything that is not of you. As we look at a few scriptures together, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word, the revelation of yourself in your word. And we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I wonder, how you organize your day. Are you modern people? Do you organize your day with with your phone is everything that you're going to do on your phone. And you wait for the alerts to go off. You don't. No. Okay, well, that's good news, because I'm in that boat too. I'm really quite old-fashioned, and I use a diary. And I do have, it isn't a failing. I don't get rid of my diaries. So I've got here, down at the bottom here, I've got 2024, and then I've got 2023, and then I've got 2022, and at the top here, I've got an academic year diary, which began in July 2020 and went right the way through to December 2021. So why have I still got them? I found out last night why I keep them. I don't get rid of them because I just might need them. There may be a bit of information there that could be quite useful. And I went to see this amazing film, One Life, yesterday evening, which a couple of people recommended to me. And went along, there were various other folk from the church who were there. And it's an amazing story of a man called Nicholas Winton. I knew about the story. I hadn't seen the film before. He was a man who, in 1939, organized trains to get, he managed in the end to save 669 Jewish children from Prague. And he organized 8 train loads of children to get to the UK and to find them foster homes. And I found it a very moving story. I found it a very moving story. And as I say, I knew quite a lot about the background to it. I have, over the years, studied Second World War, particularly the Holocaust, and it's very, very moving. And when I got back home, I thought, I must speak to Edith. Now, Edith is a friend of ours who lives in Wimborne, in Dorset, and she was led by God to come to the town probably 8-9 years ago, and she was led by meeting a couple of Jewish people in the town to organize a Holocaust memorial service in Wimborne Minster, which is halfway between a church and a cathedral, I think. And I felt I needed to speak to her because she had done this amazing job in organizing this service of remembrance for the 27th of January for the last 7 years. The 27th of January is the International Holocaust Remembrance Day. And I'd remembered that in one of those services, I couldn't remember which one it was, she had invited somebody who was a good friend of Nicholas Winton. And I wanted to speak to her. I just wanted to connect with her. How was I going to connect with her? I connected with the diary of 2020-2021 because her phone number was there, and that was the only place it was. And for me, that was God speaking to me and saying, it's okay for tonight. This is how I want you to start. And so our diaries, I don't know what your diaries are full of. I don't know how you organize your diaries and what you put in your diaries. I suspect we put our birthdays, or not our birthdays, other people's birthdays in. We get the family birthdays in. They're all there so that we can celebrate and remember. I have a friend in the UK who has 6 sons, 6 daughters-in-law, 26 grandchildren, and with he and his wife, there are 40 birthdays in just their immediate family. And whenever I'm speaking to him, he often says, oh, the wife's out buying a birthday present again. 3.3 birthdays every month. I mean, that's quite a thing. But birthdays are wonderful in a sense that they are a celebration, a chance to look back, a chance to give thanks to God for his blessings and his mercy and his grace in our lives. So it was my birthday yesterday. We celebrated Richard's birthday on Thursday. I find birthdays, I find calendars really interesting. And so I have, in the past, I've looked up and seen who else has got birthdays. Sorry, has anybody got a birthday here today that we should be acknowledging? Nobody here. I wonder what... No? Oh, yesterday too. Oh, that's good. I'll never forget it. Wednesday the 17th. Okay, yes, Mallory. And Isaac's is tomorrow. Right. So, I mean, there are lots of birthdays going on all the time. I have to say, I was a little bit disconcerted to find I was born on the same day as Adolf Hitler. That didn't... didn't make me feel terribly happy. And I did find out that it's actually Ayatollah Ali Khamenei's birthday on Friday. So I find birthdays and calendars interesting. So today, we know, it's the 21st of April, 2024. Where's this come from? Why the 21st of April, 2024? We use what is called the Gregorian calendar, which was instituted in 1582 by Pope Gregory the 13th. And as we all know, the Gregorian calendar has 12 months in it, 365 days, but a little bit more, 365.2422, I think it is, in a year. And of course, that explains why we have a leap year every 4 years in our calendar. 2024, is that it? 21st of April, 2024? Is there anything else to add? It is a Sunday, you're right. What about, is this BC or AD? We all know it's AD, of course. We are in 2024 AD. Now, I'm quite surprised by, especially amongst the younger generation, that they don't all the time know what AD stands for. Sometimes they can get before Christ, but frequently I've heard the answer after death. I think, oh dear, that's not so good. So anyway, it's an opportunity for me to give their first Latin lesson and tell them that it is actually Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. Now, actually, today is not only the 21st of April 2024 AD, it's also the 12th of Shawwal 1445. Now, that's another calendar. And that's a calendar that would be followed by billions of people in the world. That is the Islamic calendar. It's the Hijri Islamic calendar, and it began in 622 AD, as a result of Muhammad making a journey from Mecca to Medina. I don't know anything more about it than that. But that's the month and the year and the date that we're in as far as the Islamic calendar is concerned. There is another calendar. And today is also the 13th of Nisan, 5784, according to the Hebraic calendar. It's nothing to do with Japanese cars. It's spelt with only one S. So it's the 13th of Nisan, 5784. And where do we get 5784 from? We get that from creation. The Hebraic calendar starts at creation. Now, we could spend the rest of the evening discussing, well, how do they get that date? But that is a fact. That's where they set their calendar from. So tomorrow is the 14th of Nisan, and it is the start of Passover. Could we have the first slide, please? I wanted to just say something about Pesach, Passover, because it is an incredibly important moment, I think, in the year. We celebrated Easter, 3 weeks ago now? Passover is beginning tomorrow evening. And actually, there's another Easter. The Orthodox Church don't celebrate Easter until the 5th of May. So who am I talking about? Russian Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, Armenian Orthodox, Where my son works in Jordan, they don't celebrate Easter until the 5th of May. So it's really spread out this year. There are several reasons why it has been spread out. So for us, we celebrated Easter because it depends upon the spring equinox, which is, what, the 21st of March? And you go to the first Sunday after the new moon that's nearest to the spring equinox. Now, sorry, that's probably difficult to conceive, but that's why it was early this year, because there was a new moon just after the spring equinox. As far as the Hebraic calendar is concerned, they have 7 years in a cycle of 19 where they have a leap month. They have Adar 1 and Adar 2, and that's why Passover is pushed back. I can't tell you about Eastern or Orthodox Easter. So we've got different dates, different calendars, but I would venture to suggest we're celebrating the same amazing moment in history. And as far as Passover is concerned, in the book of Leviticus, in the first two verses, we read, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel." The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel. Say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." The feasts of the Lord, these are my feasts. It doesn't say anything about Jewish feasts. Who is the Lord? Jesus is Lord. These are the feasts of the Lord. So worthy of consideration. And in Leviticus 23, you can get the whole range of the feasts of the Lord. And we need to remember that as we look at the Acts of the Apostles, as we look in the New Testament, actually, Easter isn't mentioned. Well, that's not quite true. I discovered the other day that if you look at the King James Version, in Acts chapter 12 and verse 4, it says, "And when he had apprehended him," this is Peter going into prison, "and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers," I'm not sure what a quaternion is, "to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." The King James Version's got one mention of Easter. Otherwise, you won't find it in Scripture. It will always be Passover. So the early believers, who of course were Jewish, celebrated Passover. They celebrated Passover. Now, I wanted to just have a quick look through well-known scriptures from Exodus chapter 12 and just run through these verses that speak about Passover. So here we go. The first two verses here. "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." So this is the beginning. In Nisan, we're in the new year began on the 9th of April. The new year began on the 9th of April. It is the biblical new year. It's not really celebrated as such because there is another new year that the Jewish people celebrate in the seventh month, which is called Rosh Hashanah. Okay. "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons." Now, that's really interesting. This was a family celebration. This was a thing to do as a family. God loves family. But if you can't eat, you can't use the whole lamb, then go and join up with another family. Okay? So just remember that for a little bit later on. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now, this lamb that is spoken of here is not the cuddly one around somebody's neck. This is a one-year-old sheep. It's basically a sheep. It was a good size animal. Okay? And we can see here already, we can see this feast of the Lord pointing so clearly to Jesus. It is all about Jesus. Let's go on. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. So they were to kill, they were to bring the lambs in on the 10th, and they were to be without blemish. They spent 4 days examining the lambs. Oh, there's a gray hair here, or there's a hoof that's got an injury, or whatever. They would examine them. Think about Jesus' examination before Caiaphas and Pilate. It was exactly the same, a lamb without blemish. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. We know the story really well. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. So it was a complete sacrifice. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire, and thus you shall eat it. With a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, so you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Just take note there of the urgency of the situation. They weren't to sit down and get the napkins out and tablecloth or anything like that. It was standing up. They were to be ready to leave because the angel of death was going to pass over. The final plague was going to come as a judgment upon the Egyptians. And the judgments of God had come upon the Egyptians in all of the plagues. And you read at the beginning, you see that the Hebrews actually endured a couple of the plagues at the beginning. And then as you read through, you find that they are protected. And they didn't suffer the darkness or the lice. I can't remember which it was. But they were protected while the rest of the nation was being judged. That, I think, has got something for us to learn. And also the way in which they were ready and in haste tells us something about our lives, that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is an urgency. There is an urgency to be preaching the gospel, to speaking the good news, because we don't know how long we have. We don't know how long we have to live ourselves. We don't know how long till the Lord Jesus returns. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. So we know, we understand the blood is crucial. We are saved by the shed blood of the Lamb of God. The Israelites were saved from death because they obeyed the commandment of God to kill the lambs and the goats and to put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels, to be covered by the blood. The covering of the blood is absolutely paramount for us. And let us just remember, let's just fast forward a little bit to today, because this this festival, I believe it is the oldest festival in the world, religious festival in the world, that is still being practiced. Now, I don't know, maybe Chinese New Year, or maybe there are some other festivals that I'm not quite sure about, but in terms of God and a relationship with God, this has to be the oldest. And tomorrow, the Jewish people will gather to read through the Haggadah. Somewhere I have here, told you I struggle with just one hand, I'm afraid. I've got here a Haggadah. It's the booklet that they will use, but sadly they won't use this booklet because this is a Christian Haggadah. This tells the story from a messianic Jesus point of view. But they will be meeting in their homes, in their families, over a meal, and they will read through. And the last thing that they say at the end of the Haggadah is next year in Jerusalem. It's worth thinking about that. And this festival has been celebrated around the world, wherever the Jewish people have been scattered. Around the world, and obviously in the land itself, it will be celebrated. And what's that going to feel like for them on this occasion? The feasts of the Lord are very often dangerous times. You probably remember that 7/10, 7th of October, happened on the very last day, the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. It's called Simchat Torah. It is the rejoicing in the law. It was a huge celebration at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles. I believe that Satan knows the calendar better than we do sometimes. There is blessing to understand this calendar in terms of who God is and what's on his agenda. I do have on my desktop, I've got a calendar which links the Hebrew calendar to the Gregorian calendar, so I can know day by day. I don't look at it every day, but I can know day by day where we are at in the Hebraic calendar. So it must be very painful for Jewish people celebrating. And they may be looking over their shoulders as we see horrendous, horrendous anti-Semitism around the world today. But there is hope. And I've just got here two testimonies that I would like to just read. Passover is powerful. It's a really powerful celebration. But it also gives us a promise of the future kingdom of God. And I've got a testimony here. I'm going to just see if I can just go to halfway through, because it is a little bit long. It's a testimony that comes from Gaza, and a gathering of people around a man called Han. Now, the context here is a little bit hazy, but I've spoken. It was a Facebook post, and I've actually spoken to the lady who lives in Northern Ireland who posted this post and totally verifies the whole incident for me. Where am I going to start? I don't know how many of you have had your faith tested. A mother brought a little boy of 8 years into the midst of the crowd of people who were having a Sunday school gathering on Easter Day, and the boy was dead. I don't know how many of you have had your faith tested in a situation like this, in the middle of a war with all eyes on you while you were just about to preach about the resurrection. So I ask all of you, what would you do? I'm so proud of Han, and I've told him that so many times this week, he looked at the crowd of kids and parents. They were all just watching with the strongest voice that he could project without any sound system. He yelled at the top of his voice, "This is Easter." He said, "We know Jesus died for us. It's by his stripes we are healed. We believe in miracles. So now, I want all of you, I want all of you to stretch out your hands to this dead boy. We're going to pray. I want all of you to pray with me and believe that Jesus can do a miracle. All of the kids and parents stretched their hands out. Han put his right hand on the little boy's chest. He said, Jesus, you were crucified on the cross, and your Father God rose you from the dead. I'm asking you right now, in your name, in Jesus' name, touch this little boy. This boy has been dead for over 15 minutes. The crowd was so quiet, and they all had their hands stretched out. What would you have done if you were Han? And suddenly, this little boy's eyes just opened. Han looked at him, but he didn't want to say anything prematurely. But then the boy coughed. Han put his left hand on the boy's back and sat up, and he sat up. And then the boy stood. Han yelled to the crowd, now you see this little boy is alive. This is why we are here today. Just like God raised his son up from the dead, Jesus now raised this little boy up from the dead. This is what Jesus can do for all of us if we just give our lives to him. All by themselves, the crowd just started clapping and yelling. Some of the IDF soldiers came out from their hiding places because they didn't know what was happening. Han sensed the anointing and knew it was the right time. So he said, if anybody here wants to give their life to Jesus, when I count to three, you raise your hand and I'll lead you in prayer for Jesus to forgive you and you'll become a Christian. He said that three times. He wanted to make sure everybody understood what he had said. He didn't know what's going to happen or if anyone would stand, but he knew the Holy Spirit was in that place. Several of the dads in the back were counting. 686 kids and parents raised their hands, stood up, prayed the sinner's prayer, and gave their lives to Jesus. They didn't just hear the Easter story, they lived it. Han then started walking around the crowd, laying hands on people, praying for them, and leading them in prayer. Mothers were kneeling down and crying. They didn't know exactly what's happening, but they knew what they had just seen. They saw the power of God that had just been demonstrated right in front of their eyes. It was nearly 45 minutes before Han could stop ministering to the people. He talked to the grateful mother again, prayed for the little boy who had just been raised from the dead, and made sure that she got extra food and water. As the crowd started to leave, one of the IDF soldiers who had been guarding the Sunday school came up to Han and just said, thank you. He said, I know you love your people, and I love my people too. But today really was a special day. He said, when you asked people to stand and pray, you didn't see me, but I stood up. I lifted my hand to heaven and asked Jesus to come into my life. At that moment, the soldier took his necklace from around his neck. It was the aluminium necklace that almost all of the IDF soldiers wear after the October the 7th attack. I knew what it was when Han explained to me, because one of the IDF soldiers gave me one the night I found Mary. I still wear it to this day. That soldier took his necklace and put it on Han. On the necklace, it said in Hebrew, bring the hostages home now. The soldier said, you have faith in Jesus, and now I have faith in Jesus too. Together we'll bring our people together. Together we will bring our people together. Yes, we will, in Jesus' name. Han has been wearing that necklace as a symbol of two men who had built a bond in the middle of a war through a miracle. And yet, with all their differences, they stood still for just a few moments and sensed the presence of God. The soldier rejoined his patrol. Han picked up the little bit of leftover food and water and took the cross back to our volunteer mother's grave. And me, I was still sitting in that rental car eating my cheeseburger. I guess it really was an unusual Easter Sunday. Yes, it was. 686 people were born again because some people believed in miracles. That is such a moving testament. And I think I want to stop there. I don't want to go any further, but I would like to break bread together. Because the power of Passover, Jesus was executed as the Passover lambs were being killed. That is how closely God's calendar is kept And he is our everything. He is our everything. And the promise is that he will come again, and I will illustrate it with one more scripture as we break bread. We have a communion hymn song to listen to. I think we'll just listen to it. And I was going to split up into groups, but time is pushing on. I think perhaps we'll stay as we are and we'll break bread together. And as we do, let us pray for the nation of Israel. Let us pray for God to move in the hearts of the people of Israel, that they might see when they celebrate Passover that it's about Jesus. And let us pray for the Muslim community, for whom MBBs, Muslim background believers, life is very tough. It's jolly hard coming to Jesus as a Muslim. It's very difficult. Let us pray that God breaks this wicked ideology and brings the nations together. And we thank you. We thank the Lord that he is indeed at work. So perhaps we could just have this song, and maybe we could dish out the emblems, and I'll just read one more scripture when everybody's got the emblems. Is that okay? If you could, yeah, I think if you could just pass around. This is a Graham Kendrick song, and it's just called Come and See the King of Love. Thank you that we can share the bread and the grape juice together. And in Matthew's gospel, we know the words well. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread. Jesus, who was born in Beit Lechem, the house of bread, who said, I am the bread of life. He took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, and this is the promise of Passover, I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Father God, we thank you and praise you for this amazing promise that we have, that we belong to you, and that one day we will be with you in your kingdom. Help us, Lord, to live our lives to the fullest for you, for the sake of others, that we might be prepared to lay down our lives for you day by day. Father, we pray as this Passover season begins for your covenant people, that you might reveal yourself to them in the Passover celebration, that they might come to recognize Yeshua, their Jewish Messiah. We praise you and thank you that you are sovereign and that you are in control of all things. Help us to hear your voice day by day. Help us to understand what you are saying and what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen.